I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There are stories and mythology that this country has woven around Black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders. And we are.
It's a survival mechanism to just be like wary of police.
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Hello and welcome to a special news minisode. I am being joined by
Reese Williamson. Hello. Hi.
Hi. I am James Hunt, if anyone doesn't know this. This is a bad place to start. This is definitely a bad place to start if you've never listened before. There's a lot of news that has come out in the last couple of weeks that we haven't had time to cover because we've been doing our Venom 2 episode.
Last few days, really.
Yeah, well, yeah. Indeed. And Joe, bless him, is on holiday.
Bless him.
Well, you know, he's had a tough year. We've all had a tough year. Yes. He has flown to Tenerife, I believe.
Oh, nice.
So that's why me and Reese are going to go through the news by ourselves.
Because podcast, I believe podcast recording is actually a crime in Tenerife. So he couldn't join us even if he wanted to. Stay safe, Joe.
I mean, these are my favourite episodes without Joe's stabilising influence.
I'll take that as the nicest thing anyone's said to me all year. So there we go.
So yeah, shall we dive straight in? It's not just fandom news, but we are going to cover a lot of fandom news. But what are we starting with, Reese?
Yeah, well, we're going to do a couple of big news stories that have come out in the last couple of days. And then we're mm-hmm. basically going to cover the four big trailers that came out over fandom. We know that there's other fandom news. I mean, to be honest, just looking just now at what was announced, loads of stuff passed me by, but it's sort of small stuff that is we won't have much to talk about. You know, there's a Blue Beetle outfit. It looks like Blue Beetle's outfit, and it's just a render. So we're going to cover the big trailers, and we're going to cover these two stories. And if you want to hear more from us, you know, just get up Twitter. We'll record a whole nother episode in a matter of days about the Blue Beetle costume render.
Did not promise that.
No, okay. But we're going to start with the news that broke yesterday, I think, or yeah, in the last sort of 36 hours of all the Disney moves. They've moved all their post Eternals movies further down the slate. And I work in a cinema to peel back behind the curtain. And I definitely, when I saw just the headline of this on Twitter, it gave me some, you know, scary feelings. But it sounds like it's not really a COVID, you know, they're worried about COVID numbers or more lockdowns. It's more about just production. You know, it is a COVID story because it's production delays, but it's delayed production
rather than fear of the whole country shutting down again.
Yeah. And because Disney, you know, because obviously it's not just MCU stuff that Disney own, it's friggin' 800 various brands. So actually, I think in the old days, an MCU move would be a 9-month move because that's the next available date. But because the Disney blanket cut is much, well, you're going to see. So I run through now. The first movie to be bumped is Doctor Strange, which was going to come out in March next year. Now it's been pushed mm-hmm. to May, so quite a short bump. Okay. And then Thor Love and Thunder is bumping from May to July, which pushes Black Panther to November from July. So these are all short-ish bumps. I'm just having a look, just scanning here, the biggest bump. The Marvels, that's, you know, the Marvels from November to Feb, that's obviously, that's into a new year, that's only a few months. Ant-Man, that's a fairly big Ant-Man jump. So that's, Ant-Man jumps from Feb 2023 to July 2023. So that is probably the biggest jump. And then the biggest non-MCU jump, you know, Indiana Jones, they pushed back by an entire year. So it's going to come out in the summer of 2022, and now it's coming out in the summer of 2023.
Anything that puts that film further away from us seems like a good plan to me.
Sure. I think that also, it just shows you that, you know, they are fairly hand, you know, probably Indiana Jones, you can bump that a year, you can bump that 4 years. It doesn't have any... you know, it doesn't sort of impact anything else.
No,
obviously,
dependencies, yeah.
No. Whereas the Marvel stuff, you know, you just can't, you just don't have that kind of freedom.
Flexibility, yeah.
It's almost, to be honest, it's a bit of a testament to their planning, their pre-planning, that it hasn't been more disruptive, that all of the COVID disruptions haven't had more of an impact on the sort of story of the MCU. Yeah. It's
well,
quite impressive, actually.
Especially with their you know, TV tie-ins and stuff.
Right. It's quite seamless. I mean, I'm sure there's a real story to tell about the last 2 years, you know, just on the MCU angle of quite what, how the TV stuff was, you know, because I guess two things were happening, right? You had all the movies needed to go further out, but probably all the TV needed to come in as much as it could. Yeah. And how they managed to balance that out without impacting story stuff. A real headache for old Kevin Feige, but he's got, you know, he wears those baseball caps, that keeps his head nice and tight, you know, because he's got a good head on his shoulders, not getting sunburned.
I mean, all I've got to say about these is, as far as I'm concerned, all of these dates are imaginary anyway. So,
sure.
2 months, 4 months, it makes no difference, you know, the film's out when it's out.
I do wonder if this will, you know, talking about TV stuff, you know, I wonder if any of these could have impacts on any TV stuff, you know, just looking now. So we've got Doctor Strange is, you know, we think that all the stuff feeding into that is going to be, you know, on the TV side, it's WandaVision, which obviously has already come out. And then you've got, Spider-Man, right? Yeah. That's all pretty much in the books. Thor feels quite disconnected. You know, the Thor world doesn't really have a TV show attached.
I think if this is going to impact any TV show in any way, it's going to mean that they can use maybe a bit more Kang and Loki, or they get a bit more time to figure out what they're doing with Kang and Loki.
You could even get two additional Loki seasons in that gap, right? Because there'll be a season next year, and then if there's a third, it'll be around the summertime when Ant-Man's coming out. So that's... Jonathan Majors just got a whole lot more work. I also thought it was interesting that I think there were two unannounced films that have just been removed from the slate. Mm-hmm. So that's, you know, that's obviously we can only speculate, but we've got undated. Fantastic Four is announced and undated, right? And Blade is announced and undated. So it could be those two.
Could be.
What that might mean for, you know, for any changes in the plan on those. Again, we'll have to. It's all very speculative. You know, we've sort of probably spent too long talking about things that we just could know really nothing about.
we've conveyed the information. Let's move on to the next item, I think.
I was really surprised when I read this. This is the news that Why the Last Man, you know, very iconic kind of mid-noughties comic, beloved.
The savior of serial storytelling.
Yes, adapted, you know, in the adaptation process for years, finally got made, but put out onto a, you know, a proper streamer, you know, FX on Hulu in the US. Those are brands with a proper budget. And the first season isn't even over, I don't think, and they've announced that it won't be returning at least on FX on Hulu.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't watched Why the Last Man, but I was stunned.
Yeah, so was I.
I was just like, after all this time, they blew it in one season. What happened? Do we know what happened?
Well, I got a bit just as we were coming on air. I read a headline that says new details emerge about why the Last Man's cancellation. And I thought, ooh, it's going to be really juicy. It's actually not that juicy. Because probably we should say that in the first announcement of this, which came a couple of days ago, and it came on, it was a bit of a Friday news dump. It felt very, you know, obviously from FX on Hulu, it was sort of just a normal cancellation message. But the star and the showrunner, whose name is Eliza Clark, it felt very sort of begging the industry to pick it up and put it somewhere else, because clearly they feel that, you know, she feels like, you know, I think she's been in this project for she's been with this project for a long time, and one season it's just quite rare to see one season cancellations on non network in the US. It's it's rare. So anyway, that was the initial.
You normally get this sort of Netflix thing of them, you know, producing it as one block, mm-hmm. and then doing two seasons. But, mm-hmm.
yeah. So the slightly new bit of details today came out from the Hollywood Reporter. Basically, the problem was that because the COVID delays were so big across mm-hmm. the whole run of the show, FX had had to renew the options on the actors.
Okay.
Which ended up essentially, even though according to THR, the budget, the sort of, you know, they were sticking under their per episode budget, which apparently was $8.5 million, which is a very expensive monkey.
Wow.
So they were keeping under that, but the options on the actors, sort of had pushed the project above the line. And they decided, so what was it, on October 15th, which is when the news was announced, the options expired, and then generally what happens is if options on actors expire, then the, you know, the production needs to either re-up them or say mm-hmm. goodbye to them. And they figured that it just wasn't quite worth re-upping those options.
So it joins the hallowed annals of Jupiter's Legacy and Hellblazer.
Well, if you know, Jupiter's Legacy has just pivoted to they've pivoted into super criminals. I wonder whether this will get picked up. I wouldn't be surprised. It just feels like enough of a brand, you know, that, you know, with maybe you retool it a bit or you, yeah, I don't know. It just feels like somebody should be able to figure out a way to have this continue. Even though, again, I haven't watched a single episode, but the reviews were okay. Like it could be a show that with a little bit of retooling on this and there's some budgetary stuff could become more of a, you know,
yeah.
more of a thing as it goes forward.
Yeah, I'll tell you now, Joe and I are planning to watch one of the episodes or a couple of episodes for Patreon at some point. So I'm not sure how this news will impact that, but, We may give it a go. One of the things actually that I wonder is whether, because obviously when stuff transfers, the international rights suddenly become quite a big deal. And it's not like why The Last Man could go onto Netflix really, because internationally it's on Disney Plus.
So I suspect
it would be a tough deal to transfer that onto something like Netflix. Unless Netflix want to start with season two, which, to be clear, they don't.
I think it could probably, you know, it doesn't have to be on Disney Plus forever. If Netflix...
It's not impossible.
Say no. Yeah. But you mean the mere fact that it does already have international streaming rights...
And that they're with Disney, which makes sense. I think it's going to be a difficult transition.
It's one of those things where
I think this might be the last we heard of Why the Last Man.
Yeah, it might be. Yeah, because actually, if you're Disney, you know, if you're a smaller streamer, you might be like, well, yeah, fine, give us a decent payday, we'll relicense it to you, fair enough. But if you're Disney, you know, do you really need? Let's say Netflix comes to you. Are you going to be happy if Netflix can make it a hit on their service internationally, or would you rather just, you know, not let them have the rights or anyone have the rights and just go, no, this is,
I mean, that's a, you know, that's a thing that used to happen with, I mean, it happens with lots of projects, doesn't it? Where they go, you know, the new controller or the new head of the network has come in and they're just like, well, we're not gonna carry on other people's projects because then they'll get the credit. But likewise, mm-hmm. you know, if we let anyone else have it and they succeed, I'll look like an idiot.
Mm.
So, yeah.
It's just, it's a surprise. You wouldn't, if you'd have told me 5 years ago that when I think probably the movie was still in the mix, mm-hmm. that not only is this movie never going to happen, but there will be a TV show on FX and it will last a season. It will be cancelled. I would be really surprised by that. And I'm, you know, it's still surprising. It's
just goes to show what a cutthroat world the streaming television has become.
They're all monsters.
Well, it makes you wonder about Sandman, doesn't it? It's going to be a difficult market for something like Sandman to crack through now. And, you know, as we've said repeatedly, 10, 15 years, this would have been the biggest thing on TV, but now it's just another comic adaptation that does have Neil Gaiman's name attached, but competition is big.
I guess the only flip I'd make on that is that on Why the Last Man, I know it's on FX, on Hulu, but as we've discussed, those are all Disney properties now. You know, if you're Disney, you've got many focuses, sure, but your comic book adaptation focus is obviously on the MCU, and anything else is going to be slightly subsidiary. Whereas on the Netflix end, I think, and I've said this before on the show, but you know, Netflix, I'm sure are looking at Sandman and go, this could be a 10-year brand for us, right? Because you've already got the acclaimed comic that lasted quite a long time, various spin-offs, that, you know, Netflix,
name,
you know. Right? And his involvement. You've got decent stars attached. Like, you know, I just think they're willing to, maybe the first season comes out and it's terrible, but I think we will definitely see multiple Sandman seasons, regardless of the quality of that first season.
I think we'll definitely see two. I'll reserve judgment on the rest.
Okay. Yeah, listeners, you've heard it here. That is a bet we've made. Legally binding bet. And Joe, let's say Joe says there'll be nine seasons. So he's made a bet. And the winner obviously gets £1,000.
Yeah, Joe says that Sandman is going to be the next Orange is the New Black.
Yes, and it's up to you, listener, to figure out what he means by that. That could be anything.
Okay,
next, so that's kind of that. So now we're into DC Fandom. Which was all over the media at the weekend. And I think DC played it well. They'd clearly a lot of this stuff we're about to talk about could have come out earlier, but they sort of did the Feige thing and they thought, let's save it and let's come out, you know, with a big news weekend, and they achieved that. Do you want to build up to the Batman trailer, or should we start with the Batman trailer?
Let's not torture people.
Okay, fine. The Batman trailer is really cool and good. What do you think?
I thought, yeah, it's pretty good. I especially like Robert Pattinson's Bruce Wayne, who looks kind of weird and tortured. Mm. Less sold on the Batman suit itself, but we didn't get a massive look at it in this one. So, you know, I think it's going to be good. There's nothing about the trailer that makes me go, uh-oh.
Yeah. I was surprised at how much it somehow sold me that it made me excited for another Batman movie. And like, I shouldn't be excited for another Batman movie. And yet it seemed like it was just giving me enough things that I want, you know, that are recognizable, and enough things that made it feel a little fresh. I just think the vision, you know, the tone, the visuals of the trailer it's a little bit Snyderverse-y, the sort of, especially the color palette. I thought a lot of the red contrast, the red on blacks, we've seen that kind of him play with those colors in the Snyder stuff.
Cinematography wise, it wasn't quite as harsh as Snyder's stuff. It was a bit like, it was muted tones, but it wasn't like washed out high contrast. I thought it looked refreshing.
It looked great.
Yeah.
I thought, and this isn't my, I think I'd read this out on a tweet, so this isn't my original thought, but a really good choice. I mean, we'd seen the costume before, yes, but I think it's going to prove a really good, a smart idea to have so much of Pattinson's face be visible to you know, so that he can, you know, act when he's dressed as Batman. Let's have him, you know, do some acting, because he seems to have proven himself in the last 10 years that he's a pretty damn interesting, good actor. So let's have him act. I liked our looks at some, you know, our first looks at Catwoman, at Riddler. Colin Farrell looks just like he's having a lot of fun in a costume, you know, sort of a makeup job. That
the Colin Farrell makeup job was insane. Like, why you cast Colin Farrell if that's what you're going to do to him? You could have cast anyone.
I wonder if there's, you know, will that be explained in the movie? Will he have some kind of transformation into, like, and he's actually Bane, and then he looks like Colin Farrell actually looks. I don't know. He was having fun. We didn't really get much of Jeffrey Wright. We didn't really get much of, we got that one Andy Serkis bit, but didn't really see much of him. I like the music choice, the Riddler stuff. We didn't really see Dano's face, but we see, you know, he could be, you know, and it's been said since he was cast, but he, you know, Paul Dano makes bold choices as an actor. You know, and I think there's a worry that it's just some kind of.
Treat mom to healthy, glowing skin with Osea's limited edition skincare sets. Osea has been making clean, seaweed-infused products for nearly 30 years. Their Golden Glow body set includes 3 clinically proven bestsellers for smooth, glowing skin, while the Glow and Go facial set provides spa-level results at home. Both sets come in giftable boxes with savings up to $48 and free shipping for a limited time. For 10% off your first order site-wide, go to oseamalibu.com and use code MOM.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There are stories and mythology that this country has woven around Black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders. And we are.
It's a survival mechanism to just be like, worry the police.
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Heath Ledger imitation, you know, and God knows we've seen that just with the, you know, just with the Joker, the two versions we had post Ledger, or you know, I think Tom Hardy's Bane suffered. He wasn't doing a Heath Ledger, but he suffered in comparison in Batman 3. So that, I think that's a worry that it's just again, it sort of is going to feel like an imitation to that. And it probably will. But I think Paul Dano is, you know, he's an interesting actor, and he's due. I think I could see him being hungry for a big role in a big movie.
I tell you, for me, the thing that really got me about this trailer, the thing that made me excited, was the sort of Batman Year One vibes. And the promise of, you know, Batman solving crimes. Like, that, I've been arguing the case for this for a long time, that, you know, Batman shouldn't be doing superhero stuff all the time. He should be doing detective stuff as well. And this, I hope they're skewing a bit closer to that.
I mean, there was quite a lot of fighting, and
there was a lot of fighting,
cars exploding, but, in this trailer.
But
I don't know this trailer showed us much of that, to be honest.
I just mean the use of the Riddler makes it a bit less. Like, the Riddler's not a guy you have a giant fight with in a robot or something. Like, you have to solve his puzzles, and when you find him, you can get him.
He. Yeah, and actually, you know, there wasn't really that element to Heath Ledger's Joker. You know, he was sort of scamping around Gotham, but he wasn't mysterious. You know, this looks like it's going to be a kind of Zodiac killer kind of thing, right?
Yeah.
And that, I'm here for that.
Through the Batman filter, and sure. I hope that is the case.
And Matt Reeves, you know, just don't bet against this guy. There shouldn't have been new Planet of the Apes movies.
Yeah, they shouldn't.
Those are good. very excited. Very, very, very excited. And again, this isn't my original thought, but just I think I read something saying it. All of a sudden, it really feels like this could be the kind of event DC movie that we haven't really had since Dark Knight Rises. Really, a movie where it's a real big mainstream. And yes, fine, it's Batman, so maybe you just get that with Batman. But you know, where everyone's gonna, you know, it's gonna feel like a movie that everyone's gonna want to see.
I will remind you that Batman v Superman made almost $1 billion.
Yeah, but I don't know. I
feel like that was the last. That was the last event.
Okay, fine deal. Batman. When does Batman come out? Do we remember the date?
March 4th, 2022. Yeah,
that's so close, man. That's really close. Yeah. I'm excited.
Start buying bat t-shirts, and
back to the first thing we talked about, the Doctor Strange, which was going to come out 2 weeks after that, now a bump to May. Who knows, maybe a tiny bit of that news story is getting out of the way of the old bat, of the old Batson. maybe
Benedict Cumberbatch,
yeah. The next Batman. Now let's talk about another Batman, but this time an older Batman, with the trailer for the, or more a sort of a teaser for The Flash.
Yeah, so you've hit on my immediate problem with The Flash trailer, which is that it reads like a Batman movie trailer.
Yes, I agree with that.
You get the iconic moments of the Flash encountering Batman and the Flash uncovering what is apparently the Batmobile.
Yeah, it was kind of
like, are those the things you want to advertise your Flash movie with? Like, look, Batman's in this one.
But I mean, all evidence from all DC movies suggests that yes, that is the smart thing to advertise your Flash movie as, the movie which has Batman in it.
I just worry that they're diluting their own brand a bit.
It was definitely ballsy this past weekend to basically your two biggest trailers, end in the same shot of, you know, the back of Batman's head, basically. Yeah. That is ballsy. Yeah. It is ballsy. I think it wouldn't have worked, if it was the Affleck Batman or if it was another old, an older actor playing an older version of Batman. I think it wouldn't have had the impact. But you know, you have the secret weapon with this of it's Michael Keaton, and people just like with Spider-Man, whatever the third one's called, Home something.
No Way Home.
You know, when we get the trailer of friggin' Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield in that nostalgia hit, it's going to be very similar to when we get the trailer with Keaton as Batman, which we will get.
This one's for the dads, is what you're saying.
This is a dad's one. This is the one for the dads.
The kids have Robert Pattinson Batman, and the dads have Michael Keaton back where he belongs.
The truth is, the dads will see both, and the dads will bring their kids to both.
They'll be like, no, we're going to the Flash movie. You see that? That was Batman when I was your age.
I don't think there's actually all that much else to talk about with the Flash trailer. The costume looked a bit different and cool, but...
Yeah, the costume has gone a bit more like you would expect a Flash costume to be like, which is that it has low wind resistance and not like a bunch of cables and armor.
I think the question with this one I have is... You know, forgetting we shouldn't forget it, but forgetting the sort of slight controversy around Ezra Miller, you know, over the years of various kinds, actually. But I just don't know that he can carry a superhero movie.
I mean, he doesn't have to because Michael Keaton's there to do it for him.
But the movie isn't called Flash versus Batman. The movie is called The Flash. And so it will need to have a lot of Ezra Miller as The Flash. In fact, in the trailer, there's two Ezra Miller Flashes.
Yeah.
There's this friggin' second guy.
There are a few Flashes.
So we're going to have a lot of Ezra Miller. And as someone who really liked the first, maybe, well, really liked the first two-thirds of the first season, but watched The Flash for probably 3 or 4 years, at least me, you know, at least that consumer, you know, that covered, that's pun not intended, that show covered, has covered a quite a lot of ground. And I wonder, yeah, I kind of, you know, this, I wonder what else this is going to do. You also have the, this will be coming after Spider-Man Home, blah, blah. Will people have like multiverse fatigue in the general audience by the time this comes out?
If they don't have multiverse fatigue by the time Flash comes out, they will have it soon. Because
yeah, yes.
I reckon the next 5 years are going to be multiverses everywhere.
God, that'll kill me. So yeah, what's the date on? I'm just looking at this page here. Can you see? Have you got the date in front of you for Flash?
For Flash, I don't.
When's the Flash? Okay, well, the Flash comes out at some point. I've got two more to talk about. A movie one and a TV one. So the next one is this doesn't really count as a trailer, more a first look or a sort of not even a teaser. It's like it's one of those trailers that has that most of it is like behind the scenes production footage and a clip of Pierce Brosnan. What's that clip for the beginning? I've never worked in any project like this or something, which is, I just don't believe at all. Bullshit, Pierce. Fucking bullshit. Don't lie to me.
Yeah, don't lie to us.
Come on, dude. So this is the first look of Black Adam. and yeah, and I think you literally just watched it for the first time.
I did literally just watch it.
Talk us through it.
I mean, yeah, there's not much. There's a lot of sort of, you know, a lot of very slow shots. And then what's his face? Well, okay, this is part of the problem, is that when Black Adam shows up, I can't even be 100% certain that is The Rock in the suit.
Yeah.
Like, you don't really see his face.
Yeah, well, it's probably trying to do the Flash thing, which is, I mean, I know in the Flash trailer we see the Flash, but we don't see Batman. And again, it's that sort of long marketing campaign thing where you wait a bit till you put out, you know, full footage of the main guy doing his stuff. And I think that's why you have the Rock actually sort of present the clip, because then you can see he's the Rock, and then you then don't see he's the Rock in the next bit.
Yeah.
This one, because who else do we see in the first track? We see Pierce Brosnan. We see The Rock. Who else? We see other characters, right? Or other actors who are going to be playing characters in the movie.
Yeah. Well, remember now? No one I recognize. No.
Okay. Fine. I'm not sure about this one. It feels.
I think it's going to be good. I don't think there's anything, you know, just because The Rock is so watchable.
Yeah, but Black Adam is Black Adam is like a villainous character. I just wonder if The Rock, that doesn't play to his strengths, does it?
I think Black Adam is more, certainly in the appearances I've read, he's more of an anti-hero. Or at least they pushed him more in that direction.
The Rock is like he's like your fun dad that ate another dad basically, and so he's, you know, ginormous. But he's, I just think that's his, and maybe he wants to try and break out of that a bit as he goes forward. He feels like perhaps audience have fatigue with that, but he's sort of in these. The tone of the movies he's in, the action movies, are much lighter than this looks, and then I think the character of Black Adam is so either this is Black Adam in a movie that doesn't fit the character, or this is The Rock playing against his current persona. Maybe I'm more interested in the second one, but yeah. Question mark.
I mean, I think The Rock has enough charisma that whatever he does with it, you will enjoy. And I think Black Adam as a character is strong enough to carry a movie.
Yeah, and you've got to say he looks the part. I mean, I know we haven't seen him in the part, but he does look, you know, when he says in that clip, he says, I've been working on, you know, this is a project close to my heart for such a long time. I just think all that means is that he 20 years ago looked at a picture of Black Adam and was like, oh, I just have to play that guy. Cause that's, that just looks like
me,
what my face is. And this guy's Jack. I'm Jack. Who else am I going to play? You know, I have to just do this one role.
Got to get on a franchise.
Got to get on a franchise.
Yeah.
So yeah, Black Adam. Do we know the release date of that? Do I have that on my page here? They have announced it. I think
29th of July, 2022.
Oh, so that's kind of soon.
Yeah.
isn't it? Let me just check the flash release. Now you've caught my curiosity. Release date. No, that's 7th of October 2014. No, that's the Flash television program. Not useful. That's 17th of March 2021. Nope. Okay, so this is June 2022. So next year is in quite a short chunk. We have, you know, we have more DC stuff than we would have had since. Would that be the first DC movie since Wonder Woman 2 last Christmas? There hasn't been one in. There won't have been one in 15 months, right? Oh no, Suicide Squad.
Oh yeah, of course.
Suicide Squad. That counts, I guess.
It's hard to remember what is part of the DC universe.
Yes, very true. Speaking of the Suicide Squad, the last trailer we wanted to discuss is the trailer for the TV show The Peacemaker.
Yeah.
Starring John Cena.
What did you think of John Cena's performance? Remind me. In Suicide Squad.
What did I think of John Cena's performance in Suicide Squad? I liked the kind of heel turn as the movie went on, and I thought that the fight sequence with Rick Flag was a really visceral, crunchy little scene that I enjoyed a lot. Mm-hmm. And then I was surprised because I think I did what everyone did towards the end of the movie, when spoiler alert, he seems to die, and I was like, oh, I guess the Peacemaker show is a prequel. Fine, you know, fine. I'm interested to know how maybe this guy, this kind of goofy seeming guy, was corrupted. I guess that's the show. And then no twist, credit sting. Nope. He's alive. I guess the show's a sequel. And then what's funny is that this trailer doesn't seem to hint
connect
to
Suicide Squad
darkness.
At all.
No. Oh, again, yeah, any of the other characters. And I also think that the stuff that worked for me less in the Suicide Squad is the stuff that's earlier in the movie where people say John Cena is this great Hollywood, this great comedy actor. And I haven't seen Blockers or the Fireman movie, but I don't know. I just don't think I see it or it's not on my wavelength for when he's trying to sell a joke to me. And well, this trailer has a lot of that comedy stuff in it.
I'll tell you this much. I am on his wavelength.
Okay. Good.
I thought his kind of straight man routine in Suicide Squad was decent, like funny.
Mm.
You know, I can't say it was very deep, but I enjoyed it.
So what did you make of this trailer?
It looked pretty good. Of every DC television show that I've seen a trailer for, this is the one that made me go, you know, that might be worth watching.
Yeah, it looks light. It looks, because I think James Gunn's, he might have written or co-written all the episodes.
He's really involved, first, right?
Yes, he's properly involved. Yeah. And if this is a kind of a slightly grubbier, you know, if this is sort of Peacemaker and his team going on these slightly anti-hero, grubby little sort of trauma adventures week to week with a James Gunn, you know, aesthetic and sort of script, I think that could work for me. You know, James Gunn, some of his sillier stuff in the movies, I think can great, but if this is, you know, if this is a, I don't know if we know this is, if this is a half hour show or not, but if it's a, you know, if it sort of really pitches a comedy, I think James Gunn weekly superhero half an hour comedy show, I'd like the sound of, and then I'm not convinced the John Cena of it all, but you know, I really like the Suicide Squad, so
I definitely wouldn't turn it down given the chance. So I'm gonna check it out. I think
Christopher Walken's in it as his dad. There's that bit with the eagle that made me chuckle. I definitely
that's
I
the thing,
a
right?
Times,
couple,
sure.
If you can make someone laugh in a couple of trailer shots, then there's a good chance the actual show will be funny too.
And this, just to complete the release date trifecta or set, this starts in January. Which is really soon.
Yeah.
So we're gonna have Peacemaker right into Batman, into Flash, into Black Adam. Boom, 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 boom.
And then Marvel stuff will start.
That's a lot of dudes. A lot of dudes with guns.
Well, you know, Wonder Woman 3 was announced, right?
Was announced. Yes, that was one of the news stories we didn't want to mention because what was your line?
We only had one thing to say, which was.
Yes. Which what was it? Go on.
It was, I'm surprised Patty Jenkins is doing it. And you said why? And I said, because didn't you see Wonder Woman 2?
To which I replied, yes, I did. So yes, that's happening. announced, just to give you, I guess, a tiny bit of on that, which I'd only just read now, and now co-announced by Linda Carter at Fandome, which suggests maybe that Linda Carter, you know, a very small cameo at the end, maybe that's going to be a meatier part of the sequel. Which,
maybe I'm genuinely, without getting too deep into it, because I know we need to wrap up, I'm surprised Patty Jenkins feels like she's got more to say with that character after two movies, but the first one was great. The second one, not so much. But I'll go and see a third.
I think it's more that, I mean, they need to make another one. I think, you know, that's. Don't you think like sort of they again? They really are a lot of dudes, and you know, you've done three Harley Quinn things now. The Suicide Squad wasn't exactly a massive hit, but the first Wonder Woman was, and the second Wonder Woman, you know. Only HBO know if that was a hit. So yeah. I think you know you have to make it. You know, therefore, you know that you need Gal Gadot because she's Wonder Woman, and maybe Patty Jenkins is like, okay, fine. I'll do one more. I'm doing one more, and you're gonna pay me a lot of fucking money. And I'll do Star Wars, and I'll do my Star Wars sort of fighter jet movie, which may or may not exist. So yeah, that's all the news that's fit to print from the DC fandom. How do you probably grab these things?
I was going to say it's not so easy, is it? When you we'll say that's all the news from DC fandom and the world of comic book adaptations in the last couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. We will be back soon with, I think this has probably come out before our Venom 2 episode. So you're going to be hearing that soon.
Of course. Oh, can I briefly say the Venom 2 episode, I hadn't seen Venom 2 at the time it was recorded, so I'm not on it. So I don't know your guys' opinion yet, but I have since seen it. And Venom 2, so much fun. Great, great fun. I just want to see Eddie and Venom adventures every 2.5 years, just forever. I could just see those two crazy cats get mixed up in another crazy symbiote adventure. Really enjoyed it. Anyway, that's all. That's my. I imagine the Venom 2 episode you recorded will be a little bit longer than that. Just a bit.
I'm saying nothing.
Okay. Great.
But yeah,
nice talking.
So like I say, I'm off on holiday next week, so whatever you and Joe decide to do is up to you guys. Ooh. I am going to be in Portugal.
Congratulations.
But that's all for now. Thanks for listening, and we will see you shortly, if not next week.